Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I know that it seems to me like, anyway, sometimes my messages all sort of take the same theme, even when I don't intend for them to. And I always wonder about that. I'm afraid y'all are going to get tired of hearing me say the same thing over and over again. Today is one of those days. I think it's going to be kind of the same theme that I've mentioned recently. But it's about choices. We all make choices. Life is full of choices. All of you chose to get up out of bed this morning and come to church, and I'm very thankful that you did. Lots of people chose to stay home today. Jose chose to wear a purple shirt today, and I kind of wish he hadn't. I wanted to be the only one. Hebrews chapter 11 is a list of people who lived out their faith in God. We call it the Faith Hall of Fame. I don't know if that was what God intended when he inspired the writer of Hebrews to write it, but that's what we call it. We regard these people as heroes of the faith, and we have a tendency to look at them and think, well, I could never do what they did. I got to thinking about that this week. Did you ever wonder what made those folks so special? I mean, if you sit down and think about it, some of these people we wouldn't invite into our homes today. Rahab is mentioned. She's a harlot. She was a harlot. Samson is mentioned, and he was known to associate with women of questionable character. David is mentioned, and although he was the great king of Israel and the great psalmist of Israel, he committed adultery and conspiracy to commit murder. Moses is mentioned. I'm going to talk about Moses today, but you know, Moses had a speech impediment. He spent at least a third of his life, the Bible says, on the backside of the desert, that means out and nowhere, keeping sheep. He took the law into his own hands and committed murder, and as a result was a fugitive from justice. And all these people are in the Faith Hall of Fame. And now, honestly, now if we knew somebody with that background, we probably wouldn't invite them to our house. We wouldn't want them around us too much. So all of the people listed, you read through the list, and everybody on that list committed some kind of a sin sometime or another. In some cases, multiple times they committed sins, and I just got to wondering what. You know, I got a little defensive, I guess, and I thought, now, God, what made those folks so special? And the answer is in the choices that they made. Rahab was a harlot, but she chose to leave that life and come to God and follow God. Samson had all kinds of difficulties, man, throughout his life. You read his story. I mean, it was one situation after another, one problem after another, in some cases, one sin after another. But when it finally came right down to it, Samson called upon God for help and for mercy. David did commit adultery. He did commit conspiracy to commit murder. But he asked for forgiveness. He repented of his sins, and he followed God after that. The list is full of people who committed sin, but it's full of people who made the choice to repent of their sin and to follow God. Now, we like choices, but we don't like responsibility for our choices, right? I thought about this morning. You know, you could probably ask Susan out at Walmart, I wonder how many people return what they buy. You know, they go, they make the choice, and they buy it, and then they get home, and they don't want the responsibility of making that choice. They don't like it, or they want something different, or it was too much money, or it wasn't enough money, whatever the case might be, so they take it back. I don't want the responsibility for this choice. We're the same way in our lives. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say who have made poor choices. Well, it wasn't my fault. I couldn't help it. I was raised that way. Or, you know, the school system is bad, and so I went to school, and it's not my fault. Or, well, it's society's fault. It's the government's fault. It's the police department's fault. It's the church's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my neighbor's fault. I don't know whose fault it is, but it's not my fault. I made the choice, yes, but it's not my responsibility. Well, I want you to know a couple of things this morning as we go into this, as we begin to look at Moses' choices. I want you to know that every person in this room this morning, you have a choice. And I also want you to know that you are responsible for the choice that you will make this morning in this service. Nobody else has anything at all to do with it, just you. I want to look at Moses' choice. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 24, just going to read three verses. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The first choice that I want us to notice that Moses made was that he chose to reject sin. And verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Egypt was a sinful nation. Egyptian people were sinful people. They worshipped multiple gods, but they did not worship the one true living God. As a matter of fact, if you go back and study and investigate, the 10 plagues that came upon the nation of Egypt were actually aimed at 10 separate gods that the Egyptians worshipped. They worshipped false gods. It was a culture of a worship of false gods, a culture of sin. Pharaoh was a sinful man. Pharaoh's daughter was a sinful woman. Moses was raised in that culture of sin, at least after a certain age of his life. But when he came to the moment where he had to choose, he chose to reject sin. I don't think that was an easy choice. You know, again, sometimes we read about people in the Bible and we think, oh, well, you know, if I had been in their shoes, I would have done this. It was easy for them. It's much harder for me. Listen, that's just not true. It was not easy for Moses to make that choice. As I said, he was raised in the family of Pharaoh. He had the finest education that was available at that time. The finest clothes, the finest food. He hobnobbed with the rich and the powerful people of Egypt. He had personal power, personal wealth. He was the grandson of Pharaoh. If he wanted it, he got it. That couldn't have been easy to give that up. As a matter of fact, if you look very closely at verse 25, it even tells us that in that culture of sin in which Moses lived, there was pleasure. But it says that he chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We don't like to admit this too much, talk about it too much, but you know what? There is pleasure in sin. One of the reasons sin is so tempting is because there's pleasure in sin. And we know that because we've experienced that because we've all sinned. The problem is the pleasure of sin is temporary. The Bible says the pleasures of sin for a season. Doesn't mean that just Moses had a season. It means there's just a season of pleasure in sin. Sin also always brings suffering. Sin ultimately brings eternal suffering, eternal death in hell. Moses, when he came to that moment in his life where he could make a choice, where he needed to make a choice, he chose to reject sin. The next thing I want us to notice is that he chose to follow God. It's not enough just to choose to reject sin. We have to also choose to follow God. And this gets very interesting. Look again at verse 25. And it says that Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Isn't that odd the way the Bible says that? He chose to deny the pleasures of sin and chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God. The people of God at this time were the Jewish. They were the followers of God. Admittedly, they had some difficulties as a nation. But in general, as a nation, they were the followers of God. And they were suffering affliction at the hands of the Egyptians because they were slaves in Egypt. And yet Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to be the inflictor of suffering like the Egyptians. It also says, verse 26 says that esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. it was not popular to be a follower of God in Moses' time. As a matter of fact, it has never been popular to be a follower of God. Never. Christians have always been in the minority, with the exception possibly of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. That was the only time. Those who followed God in Moses' day were looked down on. They suffered reproach just because they followed God. Moses decided that the reproach of Christianity, the reproach of following Christ, was better than the treasures that were in Egypt. That's an amazing choice, don't you think? This is Moses, who was raised in the palace. Moses decided that even the most difficult things about following Christ were better than the treasures in Egypt. And for Moses, following God was not easy. Here again, we think, oh, well, you know, God chose Moses and God blessed Moses and God used Moses. If God would do that to me, I could do what Moses did. It wasn't easy for Moses to follow God. First of all, he had to deal with Pharaoh, that ungodly man. He had to deal with Egypt, that ungodly nation. He had to deal with the 10 plagues. Do you think it was easy for Moses to stand before Pharaoh and said, listen, tonight, buddy, your oldest son is going to die. And not only your son, but the oldest child in every house in the nation of Egypt is going to die tonight. Now, I don't think that was easy to say. I don't think it was easy to watch the hail fall and the lice and the flies and the locusts. I don't think it was easy to watch all that. He experienced part of it, at least at the beginning. The Israelites experienced the plagues just like the Egyptians did. That wasn't easy, but he did it. He did it because he was a follower of God. And then, of course, Moses had to deal with the grumbling and the complaining of the people of Israel. I mean, they hadn't been out of Egypt very long at all until they started griping. They didn't have this, or they didn't have that, or they had it, but they didn't like it. They wanted something different. And so Moses had to deal with that and deal with their rebellion against God. Moses had to intercede on the behalf of the Jewish people to God. And it was difficult. Remember one time God got so mad at the nation of Israel, he said, I'm just going to wipe them all out and start over with you, Moses. And Moses interceded and said, oh, God, don't do that. Now, these things weren't easy. For 40 years, he had no permanent home. He had a tent, I suppose, that he dwelled in. And when God moved, when the pillar of cloud moved, or when the pillar of fire moved, he had to pack up his tent and he had to move. No permanent home to dwell in. He had no kitchen cupboard full of food. As a matter of fact, for 40 years, Moses ate the same meal every day. Try that on. I love hamburgers, but I'd get tired of them after a week or two. For 40 years, manna in the morning, quail at night. Manna in the morning, quail at night. Come home from work, honey, what's for supper? Quail. Get up in the morning, honey, what's for breakfast? Manna. For 40 years. Listen, that wasn't easy. There was nothing about Moses' life following God that was easy, comfortable. But, oh, how he was blessed by God. He became famous. I mean, it's been thousands and thousands of years since Moses lived, but we're talking about him this morning. As a matter of fact, there are people all over the world right now today who know who Moses was. He became the leader of an entire nation of people, the deliverer of an entire nation of people. Yes, it brought some headaches with it, but listen, that was an exalted position. Moses had a personal relationship with God. I mean, Moses talked to God the way that you and I talk to each other. That's what the Bible says. God even says, I've never dealt with any man like I've dealt with Moses. God personally delivered to Moses the Ten Commandments. Don't you find that amazing? I mean, he went up in that mountain and God spoke to him and the thunder rolled and maybe the lightning flashed and I don't know how all it happened, but God wrote with his own finger, the finger of God wrote on those tablets of stone, and Moses was right there. He saw God. The Bible says that Moses saw the hinder parts of God. I've never seen God. I know he's real. I know he exists. I know he's a spirit, but I've never seen him. But Moses saw him. Moses decided that his worst day as a Christian, as a follower of God, was better than his best day living in sin. And he was right. It's still not popular to be a Christian, and it's still not easy, is it? But you know what I think we do as Christians? I think we emphasize the not easy part. I think we sell Christianity short. I think we talk too much about what we have to sacrifice to be a Christian. Oh, I had to give up this, or I had a good job paying hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I had to give it up and go be a missionary. Oh, bless my heart. We talk about all the don'ts. Well, I can't do that because I'm a Christian. I can't do that because I'm a Christian. I can't do that. And all the things that we have to do. Don't you love that? Maybe some of you this morning. Uh-oh, I'm about to get in trouble. I just realized it. Maybe some of you this morning, the alarm clock went off and the rain was pitter-pattering on your roof or your window and it was dark, you know, and cloudy and overcast. And you were probably nice and warm and snuggled up in your bed and you thought, I have to get up and go to church. We talk about all of the things that we sacrifice, all the things that we don't do, that we can't do, all the things that we have to do because we're Christians. And I want you to know something, folks. Your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day as a sinner. Amen. Always has been, always will be. We have, Christian, if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, we have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. We can talk to Him, to God, and He hears us, and He talks to us. Now, I know there's a certain lady on a certain show on the television that thinks that's crazy. Well, I just got to tell you, she's wrong. I kind of like it when God speaks to me. I'll just tell you, this message this morning, as I prepared it this week, I thought, well, it's about choices, and I've talked about choices, and I've preached about choices, and they're tired of hearing about choices. There must be something else. And I couldn't find anything else. God didn't lead me to anything else. He just kept bringing me back to this. And I just kept not liking it. I'll be honest with you. And I was unsettled. I finished it up Thursday evening. And I was unsettled Thursday night. And I was unsettled Friday. And I was unsettled Saturday. And I was unsettled this morning. And this morning, something happened and settled me. God spoke. Don't you like it when God speaks? Isn't it wonderful? Listen, as a Christian, we have a constant companion who is omnipotent. No problem is too big for God to handle. No foe is too powerful for God to overcome. No sorrow is so great that God can't bring us peace and comfort. God gives us direction. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us hope. He gives us purpose in life. I'm telling you. Your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day in sin. We need to tell people that. We need to show people that. We need to act like we got something good because we got something good. The last thing I want you to notice is that Moses chose to look to the future. Verse 26 says, "For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." The respect of the recompense of the reward just simply meant that Moses was looking forward. He was looking into the future. He was looking to what lay ahead for him as a Christian. He was looking to eternal life with God in heaven. That's how he could make the choice. That's how he could choose to leave the pleasures of sin and suffer the affliction of the people of God, because he knew that beyond that there was something far greater than what he had here. Life with God on earth is really good. Life with God after earth is going to be unimaginable. So good. We can't even think about it or talk about it or imagine it. That's what it's going to be. That's what Moses looked forward to. And that's what Moses is experiencing at this moment right now in heaven. Moses is in heaven. All the stuff that he went through, all the pain, all the aggravation, all the suffering, all of that stuff, all of the afflictions of the people of God is no longer even a memory in his mind. It's all gone because Moses is in heaven. Christian, well, most people don't like to wait, do they? I don't like to wait. We like instant gratification. That's why we like the internet, because it's instantly gratifying. That's why we like microwaves and instant food, because it's instantly gratifying. That's why we'd rather go get something than to cook it, because we can get it quicker. We want what we want, and we want it right now. But Christian, we need to look to the future. We need to be patient just a little bit. We need to have a future perspective, because what is waiting for us, as good as it is now to be a Christian, what is waiting for us is far greater. We need to hold loosely to the things of this world. We need to not be so caught up in owning possessions and having things and doing stuff even. We need to hold loosely. I'm not saying any of that is wrong, but we grab too tight to it. We focus too much on it. We need to hold it loosely, and we need to grab tightly the things of God and hang on. As I prepared this message, I told you I wasn't happy with it. Because it went a direction that I didn't really intend for it to go. When I got through with it, I looked back over it, and I always read back over it to correct errors and things like that. And as I read back over it, I thought, well, that's not really what I intended. I don't know. I'm not sure how that happened. I really didn't intend for it to go in this direction and talk so much about choices. But I think it went the direction that God intended, because Jesus preached a message of choice. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying," this is what Jesus said, "the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Jesus wanted people then, and he wants people now, he wants every person here to repent of sin. That is to turn away from sin and turn to God and believe the gospel. Believe what the Bible says. Believe what Jesus said. But he preached a gospel. He preached a message of choice. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, "I tell ye, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." I want you to repent, but I'm going to give you the choice. You don't have to repent. You can repent or you can perish. To repent, I said, is to turn away from sin and turn to God, to follow Him, to believe Him, to trust in Him, to love Him, to do what He wants you to do. That's repentance. That's salvation. You can choose that. And if you choose that, God will forgive you of your sin, and He'll give you joy, and He'll give you peace, and He'll make your worst day better than your best day in sin, and He'll give you eternal life in heaven when this life is over. If you choose not to repent, it's your choice. Then you're choosing to perish. If you choose to perish, you're choosing sin and suffering and difficulty and sorrow now. And you're choosing eternal death in hell. Eternal death in hell. The choice seems so obvious. And yet millions and millions and millions have chosen and are choosing to perish. Would you stand with me this morning?